Margaret's going to come and read from Revelation chapter 21 and the first 8 verses. Lord, speak to us through your word. May it live in our hearts. Open us to what you have to say through it. Lord, even if we're familiar with these words, help us to hear them afresh. In Jesus' name.
From Revelation 21, verses 1 to 8. It's in page 1249 in the Church Bible. A new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Amen.
I wonder if I went up the high street and carried out a survey on those two words, Alpha and Omega. What people would say, what people would understand by them. I'm sure quite a few would know that they are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. Some might not have any idea, perhaps you didn't. Some would have heard of the Alpha course, which is a course teaching inquirers about the Christian faith, the fundamentals of Christianity. If I mention the word Omega or Omega, probably most people think of the Swiss watch manufacturer. But I wonder how many people would understand Alpha and Omega in relation to God, as the Bible gives these as names for God or Jesus Christ. We completed a series recently of family services on the I Am sayings of John's Gospel. Hopefully you remember some of those. So when I was asked to do this final service, I was thinking long and hard, what should I speak on? Where should things settle? And I felt it would be encouraging for us to consider this as my time as a pastor comes to an end, because there's a kind of beginning and an end, isn't there? And there's a new beginning for me today, a new beginning for you as a church, as you contemplate the way forward. There's also today the sense of an end, the end of an era. For myself and the church. It's a kind of new chapter in all our lives, isn't it? And that's the reality for us in life, isn't it? That things don't remain static. They're constantly changing all around us, like the carpet or the TV. People grow older. Energy levels diminish. And I can remember you know, when I was first in ministry in my 30s, I was spending hours staying up till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, making scenery for holiday Bible clubs. And I kind of think, How do I have the energy for that? But you do, as time goes by, have to kind of listen to what your body is telling you. But I find great comfort in this, that God does not change. Whilst our circumstances change and our abilities change, God does not grow tired or weary or faint. He is the one constant that we can all rely upon. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here in this chapter, in verse 6, God identifies himself as the Alpha and the Omega. In other words, he is the beginning and he is the end, a bit like our A to Z. But God's not speaking about alphabets, he's speaking about his personal being. Everything that is originates with him. And everything ultimately ends with him. There are several references in Revelation on this theme. If you look in Revelation 1 and verses 7 and 8, it says this: "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, Almighty." So it speaks there, doesn't it, of the one who was pierced coming again. I am the Alpha and the Omega. And then in verse 17 and 18 of the same passage, it says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades.'" So what those verses say to me is that this phrase, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," doesn't just speak of God in a general sense, or God the Father, but it does actually speak of Jesus the Son being the Alpha and the Omega. So we could, in that sense, call it the eighth I am saying about Jesus. Okay, well, the others were in John. This is in Revelation, but it does fit that theme. He is coming soon. In Isaiah 44, it says, "I am the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God." I just want to split this down into two bits now. First of all, what does it mean that God, that Jesus is the Alpha, and then what does it mean that he is the Omega? God as Alpha. Think about this, that staggering truth that God is the Alpha. He is the first. He is the source. He is the beginning. Before him, there was no thing. In fact, there was no before him. It all begins with him. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. There has never been a time that was before God. Okay? There has never been a time when he was not. The justice, the wisdom, the power, the goodness, the truth, the grace, the mercy, the love of God have always been there. The atheist can never answer the question, where did it all come from? That's a question we all have to ask, isn't it? Where did all that we experience now originate? And God is that Alpha. God is that source. And if He is the source of everything and the source of our lives, if He gave us life, then surely that God is worth getting to know. John chapter 1 begins, "In the beginning was the Word," meaning Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." So Jesus was there in time immemorial with the Father, with the Holy Spirit. We'll soon be turning our thoughts to Christmas. It's strange to think this year I'll be sitting and listening for Christmas rather than trying to find something fresh to say for the first time in 30 years. I can watch somebody else have that battle, saying the same truths about the birth of Jesus Christ in a fresh way. Now, for many people, in their minds, in their thinking, the birth of Jesus is the beginning of Jesus, isn't it? That's inevitably what people think. But the Bible says differently. The Bible says, no, Jesus has always existed. And that coming to Bethlehem as a baby is just speaking about His incarnation in human form, in taking on human flesh. Sometimes you hear people talk about the alpha male, don't you? Are you an alpha male man? Are you an alpha male? Are you the leader of the pack? They sometimes talk about animals, don't they? And they define a pack of animals and they say, well, that one there is the alpha male. He's in charge. He's the boss. Okay? Let me tell you this. Jesus Christ is the alpha male. Okay? He is the man. He is the man above all men. Some people kind of portray him, don't they, as wimpy, wet and weak and soft touch. He's not like that. Okay? Jesus is man in perfection. He is what all men should strive to follow and be like in His character. He is the one who is worth following, whose example we should follow. He is the one who, in the most extreme example of sacrificial giving, laid down His life for us. He gave His life so that we might live. So God, Jesus, as Alpha. Turning secondly to think of God, to think of Jesus as the Omega, the end. And I think this is more the emphasis, in a sense, of the passage in Revelation. But if we wanted to study more about the Alpha, the beginning, we might go to Genesis, but of course the book of Revelation is dealing with the end times, isn't it? It's the last word of God to us before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. So what does it mean that God or Jesus is the Omega, the end? Well, this passage makes it clear that He is the end in a number of different ways. First, He is the end of the longing for the thirsty. In verse 6. Sorry, just go back to the passage then. Verse 6. He said, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." Here we see that Jesus is the one who ultimately satisfies, and that he is the source of life forever for all who follow him. Back in Isaiah 55, it says, "Come to me, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come buy and eat. Come to God for the satisfaction in life." And of course, famously, we have that story of the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 from verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you the living water." "So," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water." There's a beautiful invitation then, isn't there, for every one of us to come and partake of God, of Jesus Christ, the living water. Now, the variety of drinks on the market these days is quite staggering, isn't it? They carry all kinds of fancy names and they claim to satisfy. Some years ago now, there was a beer, wasn't it, that claimed to reach parts other beers could not reach. There is a water on the market called Evian. Have you seen that? Evian water? Have you ever thought what Evian is spelt backwards?
Naive.
Naive. You have to be pretty naive to pay that much for a bottle of water. But there is only one water that will truly satisfy, and that is the living water of Jesus Christ. In my Police Cadet days, marshing across Dartmoor and Exmoor, you certainly began to appreciate the value of water. And there was a point where you ran out of the water that you had started off with, and you had to get some water out of the stream on Dartmoor. And we had these lovely sterilising tablets to put in, which was just as well, because you drink some water and then you walk a few yards and find a dead sheep in the stream. up the road and realise what you've been drinking. But if you want water, if you want that which truly satisfies, you must come to Jesus Christ. Because he's the one, the only one that can ultimately satisfy you. Verse 7, "Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Oh, to be in Christ's kingdom for glory. But there is another group of people that are mentioned here in verse 8, "for whom God is also the Omega, the end of the road." But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. God is an omega in a very different sense, isn't he? There. God is the end of the road for people who live without him and have no time for him. These are the people who during their lifetime are not thirsty for God. He will only meet them as their judge. For them, instead of satisfaction and joy ahead, they find the lake that burns with fire and an unquenchable thirst. Now, there are some people who would even call themselves Christians today who do not believe in an eternal place of judgment, in a literal hell. But this passage does not shrink back from that, does it? It teaches us that that is a reality, that we are either belonging to Christ, satisfied in him, heading for an eternity with him, or we are going to be shut out to something quite unbearable, to be out of the presence of God. And that is backed up throughout the book of Revelation. You go home and read Revelation. I won't go to all the other verses now, but there is a very clear distinction between heaven and hell. When somebody dies, people like to say, may they rest in peace. That's what we want for them, isn't it? But perfect rest, perfect peace is only promised to those who make Jesus Christ Saviour and Lord. And so I have to ask you, are you confident that should your life end today or tonight, that you will go to be with God, to live in peace, to spend an eternity with him? I've been preaching that here for the last 4 years, that you need Jesus Christ as your Saviour, as your Lord. What will it take for you to trust him? Has he been speaking to you? Ask him into your heart today and be confident of the glory to come. It seems to me that people are happy to have a baby Jesus. To have the Jesus of Christmas. The Jesus reduced to an infant who doesn't speak, who doesn't challenge. That docile, sterile little baby. As long as he's sweet and cute, that's fine. What people don't cope so well with is the fully grown Jesus and what he said in his public ministry. And why? Because Jesus challenges the sin in our lives, doesn't he? And he throws out the challenge to us to follow him instead of living for ourselves. It's that Jesus who died for you, who rose again, who is seated with the Father in heaven. It's that Jesus who is the omega for all of us, either to a life of eternal paradise and bliss or to an eternity without him. It's that Jesus who is coming back to judge the world. So he is the never-ending omega for every man. So life is a serious business because it's what we make of Jesus that will decide our ultimate destiny. I'm just going to show a little video now. It's somewhat amusing, but I hope it makes a point.
Next, file please. Some lying, some stealing, and some acts of kindness here and there. And try to live a good life. Let's see how you do. Thank you. see. But I've done good things too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like one time I cheated on a test, but I also threw trash in the park. That's just how it's out, right? Let's find out. To the left. That should have bounced out, right? That should have bounced out! Next. Please. Impressive!
Oh yeah, I did what I could to make my head a better place.
Every week I would go to the children's hospital waiting a while.
One time I was at the skate park skating, and I saw this dude have a leaking crash without his helmet on, and I caught my own one and I saved his life.
You know, one time I was out surfing and noticed a gnarly wave. And it was my turn to catch one, but I looked out for a wrong ticket. I wish I could have done more, you know?
Ah, but I see you stole $10 from your mother's purse.
Well, she's got a lot of money. She'll never miss it.
She'll never miss it! She'll never miss it! Next.
My grandma took me to church once.
I was baptized as a baby.
Look, I've got $200 in my savings account. Will that put me in?
Next. File, please. Whoa! Somebody's been busy! Well, let's get this over with. I'm sorry. I don't know who you mean. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hopefully, but it does speak a truth, it does speak reality, that if we don't have Jesus Christ, then all our sins stand against us, whether we've committed lots or many, all our attempts at good living, they will not get us into heaven. It is not a set of scales weighing up how much good against how much bad you've done. The reality is we have all sinned, we have all fallen short of the standard of God. We all deserve his judgment. We all deserve to be locked out of eternity with him. But Jesus Christ stepped in to die for you, to pay the price of your sin, to say, that file that's against you, I've done away with it. I paid the price of your sin. Enter into my salvation. We need, as the old hymn says, a soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word. We need to pray for a generation growing up today with many temptations, in a society where politicians push a consumer society as a pattern for life and growth. We need to pray that people will see past materialism as the purpose of their life. I ask myself, as I go into a more secular job now, where is my focus? I will need to watch as I'm not in a full-time Christian work in that sense, to remember that actually I am still full-time for God, that I'm serving him, whatever I'm doing, and looking for the opportunity to share Jesus with people. Actually, I might have more opportunity because I'm out there in the world, not in the ghetto of the church in some ways. I won't be giving up on ministry, let me assure you of that. I will still be taking opportunities to speak. I'll still be looking to have conversations with people and to share Jesus Christ. I almost think we're going to leave it there. There is more that I could go on and say about the wonderful benefits of of heaven, of living in a place where we won't live by sunlight, but we'll live by the light of Jesus Christ, and we'll be part of a new heaven and a new earth. But I want to leave it there. I want you to consider whether you have accepted Jesus, whether he's your Lord, whether he's your Saviour, whether you put the burden of your sin onto him and asked him to deal with it. I feel that that's where we need to end. God bless you.
Amen.
Do you want to teach the last song? So the last song is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. For all of us, we go through dark days. We're all, short of the Lord Jesus Christ returning, one day have to kind of walk through that valley of the shadow of death. But we can only do it confidently with Christ as our Saviour.